Welcome to Sunday Scriptures for Patriots. My name is Sean Morgan. I'm here with Barry Dermaz, and we are going to be continuing our discussion on reclaiming masculine Christianity. But before we get started, let's just hear a word from our sponsor because they're supporting our ministry and they have an important message and it helps keeps us doing what we do. So just listen to that. We'll be right back.
Gold is near all-time highs. Has it reached its peak? Did you miss the boat? No, I don't think so. The exploding debt, change in the interest rate cycle, political and economic turmoil have caused the current move in gold. And those things are getting worse. In fact, Citibank projected gold to hit $3,000 an ounce over the next 12 to 18 months. I encourage you to protect and grow your investment portfolio with gold. I trust Dr. Kirk Elliott with Sovereign Advisors. With over 25 years of experience and two PhDs, Kirk Elliott is the best of the best in the industry. Call his office at 720-605-3900 and tell him Sean Morgan sent you, or just click on the link in the description to get that free consultation.
All right, Barry, let's start off with the true definition of masculine Christianity.
Let's do it. So we're going through gradually the book Masculine Christianity by Zachary Garris. Having read it, now I'm going back through it by doing the program with you. Let me read a few sentences that define masculine Christianity. So he says here, as for the title, one may wonder how Christianity can be masculine when it is a religion and not a human being. The answer is that masculinity is not limited to biological sex. Though men are given a masculine nature, they still need to act in a masculine manner, and all men fail to do so in some way as a result of sin. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute because and there's more. So we'll unpack this. I want to stop there. And when he says that all men fail to be in some way masculine because of sin, immediately I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Where Paul says in verse 13, he says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave.
Yeah, and the word bold is used a lot too.
My translation is the New King James I use primarily, but not exclusively. It says, be brave. There are other translations. It says, act like men. Okay. And then be strong. So literal. Yes, this is interesting, Sean, that why do we have to have these admonitions in the scripture and commands?
So fearful. I mean, it seems like that's the number one thing that Christ kept telling people. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. You know, mm-hmm. Don't be so concerned with these silly material trivialities, right?
Yeah.
Have the strength and faith strength and faith of believers.
Yeah, Sean, it's just have understanding the reality that we're in a fallen world, a sinful, lawless world, and because of that, we will then take the path of least resistance. We won't conform to the image, the pattern that God created the man and the woman. Okay, and so we have to be reminded, what is a man? And this is what we're unpacking. So, yes, we need to act like God's men. And that's what gets me excited. And Sean, as I've been reading this book, and now I am rereading it because of what we're doing to bring this to the program here on the podcast and for our listeners, it's amazing how pervasive the attack on masculinity is, and we'll get into that here today. All right. and it's just, I'm having a little personal revival. There's people in my life that, and I'm talking about men, that it is amazing how easy it is for men to act like women. They're not manly.
Sure.
It really is. And I have lots of examples. I actually have a list of men.
It's friends when they abdicate their proper duty and role in their family and in society. And we've been talking about that. So that makes sense to me. But going back to just being, you know, one of the chosen, being on God's side, you have a choice. It's really black and white. It's very dichotomous. I don't know how else to describe it, where either you are obeying Satan and his authority, you know, his rebellious authority, mm-hmm. fake authority on earth, and you're passive, you're obedient, mm-hmm. you're complying, you're weak, you abdicate all your own sovereignty, all your own strength and moral compass, or you follow yes. God's law, and there's no compromise on that, and you're a representative of God, and that comes with a lot of duties and a lot of characteristics that involve all these traits of masculinity and leadership and authority and power, and there's a mandate when you're a representative of Christ on earth. You have a mandate to rule. It's not to be passive.
Mm-hmm.
As a man, you know, you're supposed to be ruling this earth with honor and dignity and spirit. And so, yeah, it really does divide people, doesn't it, into those two groups. You're either ruling with righteous authority or you're Satan's little wussy, you know, compliant minion. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I use the word minion because if we think about the evil empire, either we do become their minions to the degree that we are not walking in harmony with God's way, God's design, his law, word of liberty to be free. It's good to be reminded that God, when we talk about God's law here on this program, we're talking the full expression of it revealed in Christ in the new covenant of the scriptures. And that is a law of liberty. And I'm excited doing this program with you because as Americans, Sean, we're getting clear on what it means to be a man, what it means to be an American Christian, and what it means, American Christian man, and the American Christian woman. This is what we're unpacking if we're going to be patriots. All right. And I will say, when I referenced earlier, men that act more like women, they're indifferent about our country. They're indifferent about being a patriot as if it's something that's worldly and, you know, it's not heavenly. And it's just purely from a lack of really just getting out a good dictionary, like Webster's 1828 edition dictionary and your Bible, okay, and seeing how the Bible uses that term patriot or the idea of patriotism. And it's the actual second command, Sean, of love your neighbor.
Tell me the meaning of it, and then I want to tell you what I just feel about the concept of a patriot.
Yeah. Well, the core definition is a patriot is one who is supports their country and its interests. All right. I think I even mentioned
that.
Week.
That sounds pretty obvious that we should all be patriots. And yes. It's either you're subversive and you're actually a traitor or you support your own country. But even more so in the American system, there is this thing because of our heritage, the way we got freedom through blood being spilled and bravery, is that if you're a real true patriot, you don't just ideologically support your own country and its interests. I mean, everyone automatically should be that way and feel that way. But it's like you're willing to sacrifice like our forefathers did, which means you're willing to be brave.
Yes.
You know, it's that self-sacrificial love. That shows true masculinity when you're willing to take one for the team, for your own family, for your own country. That's true bravery. Well,
I don't think we know that we're a team. That's good that you said it like that. We are. It's interesting. We have the individual states that we live in, quite frankly, but we are together a union of free and independent people. That's called America. And we're Americans. And Sean, I haven't mentioned it for a number of weeks, but before we were recording today, I gave you an update about the book that's coming out. And I'm dealing with this very subject. It's going to be out here, I trust, before the end of the year, at What is an American? I don't think the average person is really even thinking about that, Sean. I mean, what do you think? I mean, just like, do we even think?
In my political movement, they're thinking about it a lot. But yeah, the average person who's watching the satanic media like CNN and Netflix, mm-hmm. they're not thinking mm-hmm. about it at all.
Right. And so why I have been thinking about it and studying it for 25 years is it's the second great commandment to love your neighbor, Sean. And here on this soil, my neighbors are Americans. And people could object like, oh, no, you've got foreigners. You've got other people. Well, see, stay tuned, folks. The book's coming out. What is an American? Because I'm unpacking for publication what we've not been taught. And unless you really go into studying our founding history, which is a 200-year period, from 1620 to 1820, we just don't know. That's why I've been on fire, Sean, because it is so world overcoming. It is gospel oriented. In fact, if there was no gospel, there would be no America. I know people have heard me saying that, but it's not going away. America's going through a resurrection of self-government. Okay. Absolutely. If it's true identity, it's true gospel identity.
Things have been moving in the wrong direction of decline. Yes. I want to talk about a few stats to prove that. Mm-hmm. I just read yesterday, maybe it was this morning, that 18% of Americans come from nuclear families, but in the 70s, it was 40%. So, you know, that's an unbelievable destruction of the American family within, you know, half a generation. And we've got estrogen levels on the rise in men. We've got testosterone levels in decline. We've got homosexuality and people identifying as LGBTQ plus, increasing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, masculinity is under attack. The family's under attack. And can you tell us a little bit about the subversive ideology of feminism and mm-hmm. how that subverts the family?
Yeah. Well, as I do that, let me add to the fact that, you brought in some good evidence that masculinity is in decline. Some of the things I was looking at, Sean, was the fact that, get this, we have the highest prison population on the planet. And yet, what is this country? This is the land of the what? And the home of who? This is to be the freest. The
land of the imprisoned and the fearful.
Right. But it is true. So you can go onto Wikipedia and there's other sites. The stats are there. America by population, you know, per capita, we have the highest prison population. And that's partly or in whole because man has manufactured crimes that God says are not crimes.
Yeah, okay. It's both. It's a moral decline.
Yes.
There are people committing real crimes, and that's bad because it's on the rise. And then there's the legalism that just with too many rules.
Yes.
Yeah, too easy to punish people.
Yeah, there's too. Yes, it's the evil empire, and so that's the contrast between there's Roman civil law, which pretty much most law enforcement out there is what they're enforcing is Roman civil law. Statutory, lawyer-made, burden-laden, administrative, compliance, give me your photograph and your signature and some money type of law. And it is fraudulent. It is wholly fraudulent. But the contrast of that we've been talking about as well, Sean, is that our common law that protects everybody. It's the law of the land. Okay. So I'm hoping whoever's out there in the law enforcement realm, go to libertyisthelaw.us. And if you join us, which doesn't join our mission, support a mission, I have documents there that make that contrast. And so that we can get clear on what does it mean to be American? What does it mean to be a patriot? Okay. To still embrace that. A patriot is one who loves his country and zealously supports and defends it and its interest. And
that means you're willing to get some skin in the game. You're willing to do something and lose something to do it.
Yes, Sean, I'm not consenting to a form of Christian faith that is so indifferent, so fearful,
passive
about
feminine.
The land. Yes.
You know,
this land.
You don't just sit there and let other people steal your country and destroy your family. No. You have to stand up and make a stand. You don't have to be violent. You know,
we're not clear on what the, I see why, and I'm going to still answer you. This is what we're talking about is, you know, this attack on masculinity by feminism. We're getting there. but now why there are these attacks is because the gospel was so effective in the founding of our country to erect this nation. All right. And what it looks like, in part is out of Genesis, here's what masculinity can look like so that we can, you know, just further contrast when we talk about the feminism. Here's what masculinity looks like in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. God is talking about Abraham and he says, I know him in order that he may command. You used that word earlier, command, right? There it is. That he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. Sean, you followed this out throughout the scriptures. The gospel, the true Jesus, the King, the true Jesus Christ, because there are false Christ, and his true good news, he is a God of justice. And there's so much ambivalence over Christians being at the forefront of executing justice, but we are the only ones who can do it if you're born again. You got to be born again.
Good point. Good point. We've been commissioned to be rulers. And if we're not stepping up to the plate and taking positions of authority in the world, then we're abdicating our throne and letting the satanic elements take our place. I just wanted to mention a blanket statement here that we're not saying that masculinity is better than femininity. Obviously, you can't have one without the other. This is a balance. This is where people just need to know their roles and their duties and fulfill them. And it will all balance itself out. You don't want to have justice without mercy or one without the other, for example. It's just that it's obviously in the family a woman's role to be the feminine and to be the passive natured one. So let's talk about feminism, because they're trying to subvert that and have women be the authority and take on masculine roles.
Well, to your point now, Sean, we want femininity. Oh, yes. There's a glorious femininity. What we're saying and what God has been saying is it must not be the man who's to be feminine. No, we want biblically Christ-centered feminine women as the counterpart of the utterly biblically Christ-centered masculine man. All right. So what I see is really the deal out there. And it's going back to the, after the founding of our country, women were not satisfied to be equal with men in their identity before God, that they are. And we spent a couple of programs talking about how, that Jesus Christ did wonder working things to elevate women with honor and dignity. And we had my daughter on here last time to share what Alexis de Tocqueville, this Frenchman who came here, and his observation of the superiority of American Christian women. So because that was so successful, Sean, here's one of the ways that the devil is attacking. And it's to say that just because we had a victory in the founding of America, it doesn't mean the devil's just going to roll over. No. And just allow us to enjoy our freedoms and our liberties, there's going to be other attacks. And so one of them is this idea that women should do similar things or exactly the same things as men. And that's about function and role. Okay. So women ought to be delighted and grateful that they're equal with men in honor and dignity. okay, in the created order. But now, to your point, men are to rule and women are to help their men rule. How's that? Okay. Women should help their men rule. That's the way he's set it up. So one of the things that feminism does is that it diminishes and denies the family as the basic fundamental institution of society. What it wants to focus on is the individual.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Let's talk about what that looks like in real life application, where it used to be that a man would work and the woman would help raise the children. The woman would be at home, be able to actually commit to that role, to give birth and then be with their child and breastfeed their child and just be there and connect with their child with a lot of time and a lot of attention and energy. And there was enough money from the man, earning one income for the whole family to do that. But look where we are now, where there isn't enough money. And it seems people are on economic pressure and they feel like the wife has to work. The mother has to work. And everything that's biological has been subverted, and to the point where women are not even breastfeeding. They're just giving some kind of fake formula, you know, and we've gotten away from the biological God-designed system of creating families. And so the very structure of our family, as we demonstrated with the statistic that 18% of Americans even come from a nuclear family with a mother and a father, whereas 40% were coming from a nuclear family just in the 1970s. So half a generation, we've got half the number of nuclear family members that we did before. And so that's going in the wrong direction. Within one or two generations, it could be that none of us in America belong to a nuclear family with a mother and a father. That's what Satan wants. He wants to completely destroy the family. And so, this feminism thing is under this whole guise of, this is so great for women to have rights and have privileges and have authority and power. And this is just so empowering and wonderful. And women have been so oppressed and abused. So it sounds great. But then the application is all the women that I know that are completely miserable, trying to be breadwinners and trying to win the economic rat race instead of being connected with their own families.
I take issue with the fact that this idea that you opened up with here, that there's not enough money to go around. I would say that's part of the feminist ideology, is that women need to have economic and political equality. That's what they want. And actually, Sean, they have been successful. It is, to our judgment, it has been successful. And what feminism does is it denies, again, going back to, okay, the family, not the individual. Now, God created individuals and God works through individuals. So the ladies in the home, God will work through them to the degree that they maintain their jurisdiction to not take on the role of the husband, but to maintain the role of the Christian wife. Okay. And so rather than, they need to ignore those temptations. And Sean, this has been going on since before we were alive. So we're immersed in this. It's bad. We have a lot of cobwebs in our thinking. In fact, let me give you something here. I mentioned earlier about my book that's coming out soon. Last year, I had an editorial assessment done on the manuscript. Brittany Clark down in the Atlanta, Georgia area, paid her to do an editorial assessment. And it was a 15-page assessment. And the thing she said in there, it made me cry because I got validation about my writing. And she said there's some poetic nature to it. And of course, there was the good things. And then there was the areas that were weak. One of the areas that were weak in my manuscript is that she wanted more scriptures. I thought I used scripture, but she said, I need to have more scriptures for making the case about the family, how the family is to function like a government. Because what she was telling me, and this was in her assessment, she wrote this, she sees that in the church, people are hostile to the biblical pattern of the family.
Yeah.
And so she's asking me to put more scriptures, making the case, because that's the authority. And this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the hardcore feminists out there that deny the authority of God's word. How about people in the church? They're saying they're followers of Christ, but then they are also accommodating the evil empire through feminism.
In reality, they buy into the worldly view, mm-hmm. and they just ignore the scripture because maybe they're not aware of it, or maybe it hasn't been explained, or whatever. But I think that's just very common in Christianity, that people are not really paying attention to the Bible, and they're influenced so much by the world around them that it becomes part of their identity structure and their belief system. It becomes very worldly.
Yes, it does, Sean. This is a big ball of wax, and I want to say sin and lawlessness, that as we talk about this and cast vision, I'm trusting that there are people that we're planting some seeds, or maybe we're watering seeds that have already been planted, but things are upside down. We are powerless when the home is not according to the pattern of the man to be masculine and the woman to be feminine, not for her to be masculine.
It's the God-designed harmony.
Yes.
God designed it that way, and when we function that way, there's an order. There's a system for the functioning of the governance, of decision-making, of processes for how things get done and managed. And when we subvert that, and when we don't pay attention to it, when we try to do it our own way, the worldly way, the fleshly way, the rebellious way, then we have chaos. We don't have order. We have dysfunction. We have all the problems in a home that can go wrong, strife, fighting. You can have every problem you can imagine, right? I mean, strife is kind of the outside thing that you see, but then you might have scarcity. You might have a lack of prosperity because you're not doing things according to God's order. And so then you have less efficiency. It's super inefficient to have two people fighting all the time about every little decision that needs to be made, right? If you're always trying to figure out, well, who has the authority, who has the power, who's making the call here, it's incredibly inefficient. Those are my thoughts on the God's designed order.
Sean, we got to get clear on, we got to be born again people. And if we're not, perpetual fighting and strife. Well, it says there in James 3 that you are adulterers and adulteresses with these fights and wars and divisions among you. So don't you know that friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God? Perpetual fighting, it's amazing. We're to have harmony and genuine love between us, which is not the absence of conflict. It's maintaining order, all right? But this perpetual fighting that is amongst Christians, and I'm dealing with it here in Shippensburg and Pennsylvania and Cumberland County. There are some egregious satanic attacks by Christians on Christians. Now, Sean, that ain't going to cut it. In fact, what that is what Jesus said in the Gospels. I'm reading through Matthew 13 and 14, where he says that there are tares that are sown among the wheat. The Son of God plants the wheat, but the devil plants tares in the middle of the night. And he goes into, it's in Matthew 14, where the blind are leading the blind, okay? And they're both going into the ditch, right?
Yeah.
So
this reminds me of when we talked about you really are either a patriot or you're a traitor. There's really no middle ground.
Yes.
You either abdicated, you're either working for the enemy or you're working for, your own country. It's the same deal spiritually, right? You're either God is your idol, which is not idolatry because he's the proper idol, or, you're cheating on God and you're serving the devil. So that's what you meant by adultery, right? That you're not faithful to God. You're cheating on God with having the world be your idol.
Flirting. Yep. The world's ways, Sean. And that's why I'm thrilled to do this program with you, is that we're reaching into people's homes this is the core message here, at least from my family, is that as bad as things are, the first remedy to dealing with the corruption in our country, because I know a lot, you know, a lot of our, well, the listeners, the audience, Sean, that you've had for some time, they're moved by all the corruption and the lawlessness. That's true. But the higher truth is, in our home, in your home, that is the key to freedom, to restoring freedom, and to resurrecting the biblical man and the biblical woman. It starts in your home, and you need to drill down there.
Yeah.
And with practical things, Sean, now look at this. You were talking about on the morality side of things, and that's important. But now, if we're sending our children to government schools, let me tell you something. One of the goals of the Communist Manifesto, there's 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, but out of that, there's a former FBI agent, Cleon Skousen. He wrote a book called The Naked Communist. All right. Now, he articulated their 45, they have like 45 goals. And one of them is to, I said public education. They want to emphasize children going to government schools. Okay. And this is really one clear way. I guess the statistic is about 85% of Christian homes send their children to government schools. And I just cannot see how that is conscionably allowed, because I know that Christian children deserve a Christian education. And I will welcome anybody to show me from the scriptures how, on the authority of scripture, we put our children. I haven't done that. I mean, I was raised that way, but by God's grace, you know.
Barry, it would be one thing if kids were being sent to a place where they're taught moral development and civics and our true history. I mean, that would be one thing, but it's a pure brainwash center where they're being subverted with these anti-family, anti-Christian, anti-American values and belief systems.
That's right. So on. Exactly. So this is going to get down to brass tacks, is that, since feminism wants equality with men economically and politically, that forces the wife to not look at domestic household duties as her calling and think it's out there, when God has called the man to go out there and take dominion. Okay. That's where, he's to get some satisfaction out there doing good on the Lord's land and support, taking care of his family. The wife is to support him from home. And it doesn't mean she can't be industrious. And my God, look at the Proverbs 31 woman. She's very industrious, and she's actually doing real estate deals, all kinds of things. But the what's being said there is she's working for her husband and not another man, and certainly not another woman. Okay. Men have a vision. They are given by God a vision to do something good on the land with their family. And the wife is to be in support of that and not support another man. It's some corporation. Like, she has her own husband if she's married. Do you see that? Like, this is beautiful. Like, once we got
good
introduced
point.
To this.
I've never heard it framed that way. This has to do with which masculine vision are you supporting here?
Right.
Your own husband's or some other guy? Very interesting.
See, yes. And more fundamental, we have to learn the art of contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so let the man earn. And if there's any shortage there, cry out to God, get together as a family and problem solve that according to the borders, the jurisdiction that God's given you. You were asking that, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago about what about the wife that, is worrying her husband's not providing. Well, that woman needs to repent and stop worrying and just trust God. It's going to work out.
What I was saying today was that there is economic warfare against us, that, the value of our dollar has gone down 99% over the century here. And one income did used to provide for a family a lot more than one income does now. But that's not an excuse. That is a harsh reality. But God provides. He is the only provider. And so we need to humble ourselves before him, and he will bless our family. And I'm, you know, I'm a testimony to that. You know, I was poor before I had a child. Mm-hmm. And I was all worried that as soon as I had a child, well, I'm poor now. So how, if I have another mouth to feed and diapers and milk mm-hmm. and all types of things I have to pay for now, yes. Clothing, toys. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to provide. And I was thinking that of my own will and my of my own abilities, that there would be a lot for me to do. But God provided, you know. It's just amazing how it happens when you put yourself under his authority, that he makes the provision available. And so now our family is more prosperous when we have more mouths to feed. I mean, it befuddles the mind, but this is what happens when you join God's team. He takes care of you.
Sean, and you know, what you're describing is your growth of maturity in the Lord and greater responsibility. Little by little, you're, you know, taking that on and prospering. And at the same time, my family is a living testimony that if there is material leanness, there is no starvation for God's people. There is no begging. There's, you know, just because things get lean doesn't mean you're necessarily in sin. It doesn't mean that. It means that, he will be your provider. He is our provider. And we really are in a materialistic world. Dollar signs tend to be the driving force. And when they are, that clouds judgment. And I am at the I'm suffering that right now. I say suffering in quotes, but no, it's a real suffering because we have been dealt a heavy blow to our economic vitality. And so when I talk about these things, my own experience is this is not lighthearted, trite. Oh yeah, that's easy for you to say. No, I'm paid a price to say right. what I'm saying, Sean, on this program yeah. and in my writings. I have paid a price and I am paying it right now, but I have the victory in Christ. There are Christians out there with their knives, their slander, and they're not breaking God's law. They think they're getting away with the harm that they've done to my family here locally. Okay. And I'm hoping there's people listening to this. Regardless, we are overcoming it, and that's because of our faith in our King. And they do not represent Him; they don't know Him as much as they say they do. There are tears.
I'd like to speak on that real quick because it, even with the fact that you know, I have given my life to Christ, I still have a lot of programming about scarcity. And if I was in the position that you were in, where my you know, employer kicked me off of the property and I couldn't provide a home for my family or an income for my family, I would have freaked out. I mean, because my faith isn't as strong and developed as yours. And I was a witness to how your family handled that blow with faith. And you knew that God would be there for you, and He was, and provided a home and provided, you know, food and everything that you guys needed to get through it. And you guys did it without a lot of worry and without a lot of anxiety compared to what I would have had. I know it's all relative. So pretty amazing job that you guys do. And I'm sure having a big family with all of those kids, just, I mean, I have one child and it's a lot for me to manage, and you have five. So it's amazing that, you know, and it's not just you, it's your wife and all your kids, just carrying on with joy that God's going to take care of you, and He always has and He always will.
Yes, Sean, you know, we're all on different levels, you know, talking about maturity and whatnot. And so you and I, one of the things we're doing is we're sharpening iron. You know, our experiences are different, but it is one Lord. And so praise the Lord. You know, you can make observations about our family as you're good to do and contemplate that. And I get the satisfaction of a clear conscience. Like, we're really not about the money. Like, we're temporarily being housed right now, but it's not our home. It's with William here. And we it's, you know, here's a very good way that people, I think, can relate, Sean, is the movie that's been mentioned many times to talk about these things, and that's The Matrix. You know, that gets brought up about, you know, the evil empire that's after you. But when you look at that film and how Neo, you know, he took that red pill and then he got a reality of where, how things are. You saw how lean they're eating and like looked so soupy oatmeal on the ship there. And they're not wearing nice clothes either. They're pretty rugged looking. But I think about that at times, that the Lord is allowing us to be so content. And even though I'm working to problem solve our prosperity, that, and that's ultimately his sovereignty, how that looks, that I know that the Lord uses individuals and individual families to change nations. I know that through scripture and through history, that my God, my heart is for this country in such a way that it doesn't feel good where we are right now, but I know it is good. And I want to see the hand of God move in this country. I want to see the lawlessness dealt with, and it'll take place as I bring order to my family. And when it's attacked, as it has been, well, that's part of the warfare, okay, is that I know we are stepping on Satan's ground, even by people who say they know Christ.
This is a really good point. I know we're running out of time here, but there is warfare in the world. There's economic warfare, business competition, there's legal warfare, you know, there's satanic and spiritual warfare. Are we to have our wives and the mother of our children go out there and fight for us in the world and be warriors? You know, is that no. their role? You know, I know, because we live in a civilized world, it doesn't seem like there's fighting. And if you go back a couple hundred or a couple thousand years, this metaphor makes a lot more sense. It's not a metaphor anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But hey, we're still fighting. You know, it just looks different than it looked before. Yes. But we can't rely and depend on our wives and the mother of our children to fight for us. We need to do it for them. We need to defend them and protect them. That's our duty. So any final thoughts to wrap up today's episode?
Sure. Sean, we're talking about the attack on masculine Christianity. We want to see a resurrection of that. I believe as the man gets right with God, the women and children question will come into harmony. And so let me part our program today to just say to the men, I've got something for them. I'm going to make a download available in this episode, an article that's called Not Safe, But Good. Okay. God's men are not safe to the world order, the evil empire, and to carnal things and the counterfeits, but they are good. And this is a brief little article. I didn't write this, but my daughter brought it to me, and it is shouting ground as to the kind of man that is so rare today that I want to model this, but this is going to be available. And in saying that, Sean, I want to just say to men that it matters that you are alive. Okay, I want you to hear that, gentlemen. It matters that you are alive. You have value. And I say that because there are so many attacks against the family. And one of the primary ones, quite frankly, is against the man. And this has to do with your self-worth, that whatever screw-ups you've made in the past, you know, they're hanging over you. There's condemnation, there's depression, or however it may manifest. It's important for you to hear from me right now that God has a planned destiny for you. And if you think that's not applying to you, you are wrong. And I'm on the program here today to say it matters that you are alive. It matters that there is a destiny for you to accomplish. And when you get clear with that before your Lord about your life, that you're not washed up, and that no matter how bad things have been or where they are right now, today, that can all change inwardly, right, Sean, with a man's walk with the Lord, so that when you're clear and God gives you clarity that you have a destiny in our unseen King, from that platform of your worth in Him, then you will be you will learn to become a man of honor. You will learn about what sacrifice is. And but the message of the gospel of the kingdom is not, Sean, an invitation. Why men are more like oftentimes like women and playing the role of the weaker vessel is that the gospel of the kingdom of Christ has been made into an invitation. And you don't, it is not that. It is a declaration where the King, the rightful King of this planet, of this land, has landed. He brought His kingdom government, and He says, repent, because the kingdom of God is here. Come out of the world, come out of your own ways, and be made safe. When you come into Christ, you'll be made safe before the Holy Father. And until you do that, you won't know your purpose. You won't know your destiny. And so I just want to encourage men, Sean, I want to just encourage the men. It matters that we are here, that we have self-worth in Christ, and let's take things back that this devil has stolen, starting with your self-government and your family, and let's move forward in that.
We haven't been invited to be representatives of Christ. We've been commanded to rule, and to rule in our families and rule in our societies. And so we can't abdicate our thrones. And I just want to put out there that our destiny and our mission is usually tied into that context of our role in the family. I know I feel like my personal mission in my life right now is to create a future for my son, and opportunities to educate him, to provide for him, to protect him, to cultivate him in all ways. And, you know, you just don't even conceive of that mission before you're a father. So, you know, God created this family design. We can't run from it. We can't stray from it. We got to embrace it. And so if you're a young man, consider getting married and having children, and God will provide you with a self-sacrificial mission to protect and cultivate them. All right. Make sure you go to libertieslaw.us. You can get all of the resources from Barry. You can go to seanmorganreport.com, get all of my resources. I just created a mini documentary about Mark Zuckerberg and the metaverse. I've got a lot of new information about the new jurisdiction for economic freedom in El Salvador called Bitcoin City. I've got my own blog about it called bitcoincity.blog. And so lots of interesting things happening in the world. And love to have you guys listening, talking about masculine Christianity in this series. It's just really radical stuff, because the world is subverted by this communist, feminist, subversive to the family type of ideology. And if we don't get centered in Christ, then they will defeat us. And it's just not going to happen if we're centered in Christ. So that's where we need to start. Amen. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, all you patriots. God bless, and see you next Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of our Christian self-government ministry by supporting our sponsor.
Don't you feel like giving back to the heroes who risk their lives every day to make the world a safer place? I mean, the military, the police, the firefighters, the first responders, they don't get enough respect or gratitude. To think that there are homeless veterans right now, I mean, they deserve a place to live. Well, my friend Lucas is a veteran who was tired of seeing other vets living on the street, and he started HeroSoapCompany.com. He makes natural soap that's healthier for you and your family. He uses essential oils, goat's milk, coconut oil, and if you have sensitive skin or dry skin, it's really perfect. But you can actually get a subscription and get it delivered to your door every month. But the best part is that it helps heroes like homeless vets get a place to live. Go over to HeroSoapCompany.com, use the coupon code QFAQ to get a discount, and check out all the varieties. And my favorite one's peppermint, because of the aroma, the fresh tingly feeling. It's really an awesome natural product for your family. But while you're there, learn about the charities that the Hero Soap Company supports. So you can support the heroes, support your health, support your family with chemical-free soap, and support the channel through HeroSoapCompany.com.